the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to the Runner's Diary episode 82. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, our featured fixtures.
And this week, we catch up with Paula Hanrahan of Sports Tours International, and we are also joined by Ryan Creech. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillar Performance.
Pillar Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillar will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillar Performance product. Okay, so again, we're delighted to be back and delighted to be joined by a very, very special co-host tonight, Ryan Creech. Welcome to this week's episode, Ryan.
Am I not a special co-host?
No, you're not. I wasn't going to mention you were here this week, actually.
So we're joined by the clown, is what we're joined by today.
The clown, yeah. that's Zoom for you, but thanks for having me, lads.
No, Ryan, no. I think after last week's adventures, I think there was... We had to, like, it was straight away, and I'm sorry, I did. The minute the race was finished, I was like, right, Ryan, you're on next week. I'm not taking no for an answer, pretty much.
To put everybody to sleep. So
no, it was heroic effort. And you know what? Like, as I was saying to myself, and I said last week, I was in Malaga Airport getting on my own flight, and I was trying to keep, I think I was tracking about, there were so many Irish there, I was tracking about 20, and, like, people texting, it was great. Like, you know, it was great to know someone and to run the way you did, in fairness. Like, it's... You know, everybody was very proud of you, obviously, and you know, it was great.
So. Yeah, and thanks, lads. And to be honest, it was probably, and Chloe even said to me at the end of the race, it's probably the first race that I actually said, you know what, I'm actually happy with that run. So, it meant a lot.
As I said to a few people, I said, it's the one race that you can finish no matter what. And you could say, I literally gave everything in that race.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was not an ounce of you left inside of it. But we're going to talk in a few minutes about it.
Yeah,
you're as a co-host, you still have to do co-host duties, Ryan.
We're going to say how was your week, but we're guessing your week was taking
very
a handy.
Very
handy.
Slow.
Yeah, you're excused though from answering that question, Damien. How was your week?
My week was I did 10 miles, my longest run in about a year yesterday.
Happy days.
So I got out yesterday morning, did 10 miles, very happy. I had a few days of very short running because I was doing a lot of coaching last week. So I would just join in a bit of the running, but the grass is just because obviously GA coaching at the moment, and there's a bit more like cross country. And good God, lads, my hips when I come off the sessions, I'm in ribbons from it because it's a lot of the pitch is quite small, so it's a lot of turn and turn.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ,
different fitness.
100%. 100%. And it's actually gas because in the moment, in the shop at the moment, we have a lot of people obviously with Cork coming up. And the amount of people, GA players, or current GA players, coming into the shop looking for shoes for signing up for a Cork Marathon. And I'm just asking the question going, why are you doing it, lads? Very different fitness. And they're all like, I'm as fit as I ever have been right now, and I'm not going to get much fitter, so I'm going to do it now while I can.
Yeah, well, I can speak from that. It's like, I was a GA player, it's completely different fitness, completely. Yeah. And like even the other way around, I know we had spoke about this before, we had a charity game out here a couple of years ago, married versus single, you know, kind of a Christmas and like most of the married obviously were the wrong side of their playing days, and they're all to me saying like, go on Brian, you go in midfield because you're fit still, like, you know. And I thought I was, but like after 5 minutes of twisting and turning and the short darts, I was like jelly.
It's
in
the lower
legs,
back, you know? And the hips and everything,
it's a sprint thing, it's that short sprint, and I can't handle it. But Brian, your week, you're obviously Manchester is still in the horizon for you. Seven weeks
as we record. A big mileage week, but that's probably small bit explaining. So I think it was about 64 miles this week, but a warning message on it. No, I carried over my long run last Sunday because I was watching rain, of course, and flying back from my own holiday. So I had a Monday off work. So amazingly, I headed down to Blackrock last Monday. For those that don't know, it would be a very popular running area in Cork. It was absolutely glorious down there last Monday. I mean, really, like a summer's day. The water, the sparkling shine off the water. And I was back there this morning, 6 days later, in the most horrific windswept. Yeah, only thing bouncing off the water was more water. Yeah. It was brutal down there.
When I got out of bed today, right, I opened the curtains. I was like, I'm actually happy I'm not running today.
Yeah. Like Damien talked about cross country there, like running on concrete or road or whatever. And like, there was parts of it where you just didn't have a choice. You were ankle deep in water, so it was extreme from one extreme to the other. But yeah, good week
It was
otherwise in
mad.
that.
But look, it's 7 weeks now, so it's getting down to the squeaky bum time for you. So,
For
these mileage
sure.
weeks have to be big. Right. Last week, Ryan, I don't know if you listened to it. We had the ASICS front runners, Holly
Great
Stables
interview.
and Lesser Keneally, Jonathan, on the show. We, in fairness, actually, we've got a lot of good comments from it. We did get one comment, and I have no problems. And he just said, look, straight off, he'd like to hear more people qualifying for the Olympics and their story. And we 100% agree with that. We would love that. Hence the reason we have Ryan on right now. But also, it's not that easy to get people, Ryan. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot of people who don't want to actually come on to a podcast. So what we ask of people is, if you know anybody who can get connections, who can help us get anybody, please send it on to us. Because luckily, I obviously myself and Brian know Ryan very well. Ryan would probably, if I rang Ryan 5 minutes ago, he would have come on for us. But there's other people who don't. But,
Just before we leave last week's episode, obviously I wasn't part of that ASICS interview. I listened into it during the week. Very impressed by it, actually. It was. Do you know what? I have found the last few weeks a bit different because obviously we had the 5 Miles podcast on. We have even this week our interview with the Sports International was very interesting because it's a bit different. But I enjoyed the ASICS interview a lot because it was, finding out what it's about was brilliant. But again, insulted again for another episode about my age. Just people think I'm 60 or 70. I just said, I think I would make an unbelievable ASICS front runner. I actually really would. But anyway,
My question, did you fill out the form?
no, I have too many things going on
That's
in my
the
life.
first step.
Yeah,
But I did send you a text to say what I would have filled out if I was going on. And I think, I would have seen it top of the pile if
there's
they
no
looked at
fucking
it.
point to sending it to me. I'm sorry, do you know what I mean? Ryan, would you? I know you're a Hawker man.
Big Hawker man, yeah.
Big Hawker man. So I know you obviously didn't sign up for the ASICS front runners, but are you still a Hawker man? Except for racing day, obviously.
Yeah, like the Hoka shoe that they, is it the Rocket X is the big one that they have. It actually is really, really good. I just think the Vapor 2s are just the sweet spot. I've never tried ASICS, but yeah, I think there's very little difference, I think, now between the top brands. There
Yeah, it's
really
getting
isn't.
less, 100%.
It's getting, like you saw, Nike were head and shoulders above everybody for about 24 months, and then Adidas came on, and Mizuno, and now ASICS, and everything like that. So it's a
Must be a
toss
big
of a
war
coin,
for these
really.
guys, isn't it? It must be a big war for these guys to try and stay ahead and get the top
Massive.
runners wearing their runners, I suppose, isn't it?
Some amount of money, lads. Some amount of money. Like, if anyone now wants to sponsor Ryan, give him a
Give
shout.
me a shout,
He's
please.
more than happy now at the moment. Right, Brian, competitions, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Right,
Where do we
this,
start? I'm going
Ryan,
to rattle this off.
this could take us a few minutes, so just sit back and have a cup of coffee there for yourself,
Happy
right?
days for Lou.
No, we realized this week actually that we're giving away race entries. We gave away body light
The body
torch
light
to me as
torch,
we that was drawn last week after our YouTube channel is getting great hits there. We give away shoe rescue products every week. We have race entries this week for the Mallow 10. We have a second competition coming up later in the week for four entries to the Rebel Diamond League to the four races in that. We have another competition this week on our YouTube channel with Precision Fuel, giving away a bottle and some of their products there. We have another discount code. We launch that in a minute for the Cork City Marathon coming out this week. We also have our weekly discount for 15% off Pillar Performance products. We have, what is it? Any more? Am I forgetting anything?
I'd say you're about right there now, I'd say,
I'd
yeah.
say there's
But
probably
I
more
think
even,
there's
but
quite a few. So, Ryan, right, Mallow 10. Have you done Mallow 10?
I did it last year. Great race.
Okay,
Yeah,
so
nice race.
you can now enter the competition to win an entry to Mallow 10 this year, right? Because I know they wouldn't give you a free entry, they definitely
Chalk
wouldn't.
down, yeah.
So, competition this week, Mallow 10. So the Mallow 10 takes place on the 24th of March. Race that we've all done, and I think so many people have done it. It's a very fair and honest course, you know what I mean? I think it
I
is
would
actually,
rank it. Yeah, I would rank it in my probably top three races of the year, definitely.
it's very good. It's probably the only race that you could, it's like a Formula One start. It's such a narrow start, and everybody goes out like the clappers, and maybe fellas fall into the ditch very quickly. So,
Yeah, no, it is a very good race. I actually enjoy it every year that I've done
Yeah.
it. And it's a tough little finish, and I think people need
It
to
is.
realize that it's there,
First
no,
two
do not.
miles, there's a slight pull. Next
Big pull.
six,
Yeah.
sorry, the
Yeah.
next six, are lovely, really nice downhill to flat. You need to save something for the last when you turn off that main Killarney Road, back swinging back to Mallow again. There's rolling hills is the best way to describe it, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing
But
severe, but if you're
no.
empty, you'll feel it.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
definitely feel it.
So
But lovely
that's,
overall. Yeah.
yeah, it's our competition for this week. So again, as always, all you're going to have to do is like our page and comment your running buddy. Just give your name of your running buddy, who you'd like to do it. And we have two entries to give away for Mallow 10 on Sunday, the March the 24th. Said this is good. Should be another one, a popular one. We had Ryan a couple of weeks ago, the Adair 10K, which was a massive competition. Tala AC last week, massive reaction to it as well. Brian, next competition.
Yeah, we'll have actually, amazingly enough, a second competition coming up this week. So we'll leave that maybe a bit later in the week and we publish these. So the second competition is for the Rebel Diamond League, which obviously is four races. So that's starting with the Bantair 5 miler hosted by Mount Hilary AC. You have the Drumahan Road Runners, which is the Drumahan 5K, Boyne Trailblazers, which is the Boyne 5K, and finishing off in Buttevant with the Buttevant 4 miler. So there's four races in the league. It's a new league this year. And we're giving away one entry to each one of those races. So someone will win a package of, which will be great, four actual race entries. So again, same thing, comment and we'll pick a winner on that. But we'll announce that one later in the week, this week.
So, as I just mentioned, we did have the Tala AC race last week, and the winner of the Tala, two entries to that on Patrick's Day. Ryan, anything better than running on Patrick's Day at 10 a.m. and then going to the parade and then pints afterwards? Like, that's just an ideal setting, isn't
Perfect
it?
day. Sounds a
Like,
good deal.
that's like a date. That's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's perfect. The winner is Marion McGrath-Fagan and Sharon Kelly Ashmore. So, well done to the two winners there, and congratulations to you. We will be in contact with you to get your entries for that. But that's a nice little prize, lads, and it's a nice one to win for them. So well done.
Now, the good news keeps coming. So more giveaways, kind of. So Cork City Marathon have been on to us, and obviously we have a lot going on there. We have our weekly YouTube video going out at the moment, which we're getting absolutely great feedback.
Ryan
And
took
again,
that for Ryan was going to take
there you
that for
go.
Seville. That's he was going to watch that for his comeback now after Seville.
That's it, yeah. Cork, I'm coming.
So again, Ken Nason again has given us great feedback. There a bit of banter on this week's one. If you haven't seen it, we'll get onto that again in a minute. But nicely happening, nice timing. So Eamon Hayes got on to us today and is going to give another discount code for anybody who's thinking of running in the 10K, the half and the full numbers. I was talking to him, numbers are really good. I think just a word of warning, it hasn't been publicly announced yet, but there is going to be cut-off date, which will probably be the week before the race, obviously, and there will be caps on the 10K this year, I think. So make sure you get in. So it's RD Marathon is the discount code. RD Marathon, all one word for discount. So
No-brainer, lads.
yeah,
No-brainer. Right.
absolutely.
Ryan, I asked a question last week. Does Strava have a positive or negative effect on your training? All right. And I have the winners, which is I knew this was going to be the obvious answer, okay? But I'm going to ask you a question. You are not on Strava.
I don't use Strava actively. It's on
Okay.
my phone and it does upload every run, but I just don't look at it.
But is there a reason you don't? Is a reason where you're not obviously we go public, as in that you're not? Is there a reason that your runs don't go public, or is it just that you're very
It's
your
probably
training is your training?
I probably haven't set it up to be public. Obviously, I haven't, but I just never use it. I'm Garmin Connect. I'm just old school. I don't know why, but
Would
I
you
think
still
as well as
analyze it in Garmin? Would you still
yeah, I'd
analyze your
still look at it. I would
yeah.
look at every run, but every session, main session, I would definitely analyze. But every just general like mileage run, I wouldn't even look at. Because at the end of the day, it's a simple feature, but on the Garmin watch, it tells you what your weekly mileage is. That's all I need to see. I don't need to go into my app for that. I just look at my watch.
And
Very
tell me this.
boring, very boring.
Tell me this, Ryan. Do you get caught up with running? As in, like, if you're finishing running, you're at 8.79 miles. Do you have to go to the 9 miles? Are you just going to finish when you get back to where your destination?
I'm fairly good for that, but if I was like
99.9.
8.89, I would definitely go to the
We
nine.
don't.
I would definitely. That's why you probably see him in Glamire. I normally finish by the pike. And if I was a bit less OCD about it, I'd finish by my hill where my house is. But I just go all the way up there and I just finish there and do my strides back. But yeah, I can. It, the Garmin is like Strava. It's the best thing that's ever happened, and it's probably the worst thing, which is the reason
Yeah.
why you're probably asking the question.
Correct. And the answer is all right. So we had votes in. So for a positive effect on their training is at a whopping 87.5%.
I'm
And a
surprised it's that high.
negative is 12.5%. Now, interestingly, and we'll come to it in a second, but Andy had put out a blog today. So Sunday, Andy brought out a new blog, and he does talk about the effect Strava has on injured people. And you,
Oh, it's horrible, I'd say.
so and I think in a way, people who are running Strava will have no negative effect really on them. I think it's the people who are not running, it can have a big negative effect on it. So I think the question was probably slightly wrong, but we're not going to carry on. Next question. This is an obvious one, and we've had an argument with Ken Nason about this. Ryan, you answer this. Is it a cool down or a warm down?
Oh, warm though. Every day of the
Ah,
week.
but
Okay.
whoa.
Warm
Jesus,
down
this
every
must be
day of the
a
week.
it must be a leave thing, I'd say.
I
Warm
think
down.
I think I just always call it warm down.
Ryan, stop a second now. When you come back after driving your car and the car is hot and you want to go back to the engine, do you leave it warm down or cool down?
I do leave a cool down, but I'm
Okay,
not a car.
second question. If someone serves you food and it's piping hot and you can't eat it, do you let it warm down or cool down?
Cool down,
Yeah, sure. Point proven. Point proven.
I'll give you that. I've always been warm down. Cool down, maybe in college, one or two of the coaches probably said cool down, but
That is actually fat. I'm actually, sh I honest to God, and I like myself. Ken Nason
Ken
as well
Nason is laughing, no, it's
is
it.
he 100%.
Ken is on the ball.
He's warm down as well, and myself and Brian are obviously cool down because, like,
Jeez.
as Brian just said, you have to cool down the body. You're after overheating, you need to cool it down.
We can always cut this part out.
So yeah, we edit this. Ryan will read you this again.
Wait, I guess if you think about it, like warm up, cool down. I think of it as like it's like shutting down the shop after a hard session, so you're warming down. So yeah, so
Still,
you're not
no,
selling it to us,
not
I don't
selling.
think.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm not selling it cheap. Right, so that's going to be on the poll this week for the Spotify. Is it a warm down or a cool down?
You see, because
So
Ryan
day of the
said,
week,
no, that could change
change it
I'd
all.
say he's a bit of an
Nah,
influencer there now,
yeah,
you know.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. The guy said, "Jeez, what's he on about?"
Right,
So.
we're going to blast through the next couple of things there quickly because we still have a bit of talking with Ryan to do. So, blogs, lads, blogs have gone massive for us in the last few weeks. We've had brilliant ones from Andy Goulding, who surprised us last week with his first one, and he's now brought out his second one. Martin O'Leary is obviously doing his weekly blog, but we also had our last blog from Karen and Rory on the race director's report, which actually loads of people have really enjoyed. It's been a really good read.
Again, because it's different, isn't it? It's like, something different that people wouldn't be fully tuned into, I think.
So really enjoyable. So again, massive thank you to everyone, the lads, for doing that. It's just again given different point of views, and if anyone else wants to do it, we'd be more than happy to get it out there as well.
Ryan, you were the inspiring guy last week. Another inspiring person this week is Alex O'Shea, who obviously
Top
ran in
class.
something a bit mad. Would
Crazy.
you ever consider running in a what would you even call it, an Arctic endurance
It's
event, I
an
suppose?
Arctic,
No,
or
an
an Arctic
Arctic
ultra.
ultra. I'm too soft, and I don't think the legs would go anything longer than probably a 23 long run. So yeah, so that's incredible. Just the mental side of things alone is very impressive.
Like the week day four, I just saw it. Day four was 65K.
I think on average, like, they're all 7 to 8 hour runs, weren't they? And
If more,
like in the conditions, like even I was following. Look, and again, we're hoping to have Alex on soon as well now. But I was following some of his training, like where he was practicing on a beach to kind of imitate the surface that he'd be running on, wearing snowshoes, training on a
Wow.
beach. I mean, it's just,
Different level. Yeah,
I
different
asked.
level.
We had Alex on before, and I asked him the question. I think, and I'm going to ask him the same question when we get him on again. Is like, I wonder, does he sit down at home on a Sunday having his roast dinner and say to himself, "Geez, I have this mad idea. I'm going to run dressed as a fireman, wearing steel toe cap boots in a marathon, or I'm going to run, whatever, in this
5 days in
Arctic.
the Arctic and win
Yeah,
it
you know, and win it.
and win it well, by the way. But I will say this one, the pictures were brilliant, lads. Did you see the
Yeah,
picture of,
yeah.
like, Brian
It's a
Adam, you
very,
put it up?
yeah.
It's a like the pictures were outstanding of it, like
But it's a very big setup because this crowd, Beyond the Ultimate Race, they're the guys behind it, Beyond the Ultimate Race series. They host ones in the other extreme as well, you know, in severe kind of desert, you know, it's kind of an adventure
Yeah.
crowd, you know. But one thing I want to find out as well is I think the guy who came second or third, his name was Izzard. I'm wondering, is he any connection to the famous Eddie Izzard, the comedian who actually does a
He
bit
was
of
big
running?
into it, didn't he? He's
Yeah,
big into
yeah.
the ultras
He's
and
ran all over the UK back to back days, so that's a
massive.
question to find out as well.
So next thing, Tokyo Marathon, all right, is on the horizon very soon, and Runner's Diary podcast gear was spotted in Tokyo Rain, believe it or not. John Kinsella was wearing our lovely trucker hat, happy out, the lawyer himself. So I will say this, I get a buzz and a kick out of seeing anybody wearing our gear anywhere. And I mean anywhere. It could be fucking down in Glanmire or it could be in Tokyo. And if I see it, I'm like, oh Jesus,
Yeah,
that's us.
you can't go any further than Tokyo, that's for sure.
No,
No.
it's fucking so. Best of luck to everyone taking part in that. Obviously to John as well, who's being well documented on YouTube as well. So when you're on YouTube, check out the Runner's Diary and subscribe to us, and check out John Kinsella as well and subscribe to his, because Pharisee puts a lot of effort into that as well.
He does, yeah.
Yeah,
Very
perfect,
good.
yeah. And finally, in our
Last
news
ones.
section, yeah, a good shout out to our good friend Owen, who's helped us out many times in the past on the podcast as well. Did a lot of work for us last year in particular. We'll surely get him back again, I'd
Oh,
say. But
he'd be back.
yeah,
He's contract signed.
great runner himself, Owen. He won gold in the 800 meters and 1500 meters at the Munster Championships in Neenah today. So again, well done, Owen. And also shout out to Hannah Coffey, who has a new Munster record in the under 14 pole vault. Again, your club and everybody are very proud of you, and that's
Fair
coming from
play.
everybody at Carrignavagh. So well
Yeah.
done to the young athletes
I
there.
was actually there and I saw I think Brian, are you a United fan, are you?
Me?
Myself? Yeah. Brian, who'd you
Oh no, Liverpool man.
Oh, you're right. Phew, fucking hell, Jesus Christ. I was just saying, Brian, you would love it. Owen was spotted with Paul Scholes up
I
in
saw that Paul Scholes around gigs were
Going
around you.
Cork last night, were they? Yeah. So no, Brian, you're happy after today's results, so as well. That's okay. So Good.
that's all
Yeah,
right.
good win. Good
That's a
win,
very
good
good win.
win.
We'll take it. Anyway, no, we're going to move on. Okay, so Ryan, let's get down to nitty gritty. Okay, we've kept you here long enough talking shite. So the build up,
I have to be on every week talk listening to you talk shite as well, so Ryan might as well join us.
Right, I think we're going to have to start the race. Obviously, right, you had your training, your good training block of it. Obviously, the little niggles. And we spoke about it last week. There was
Yeah.
obviously the totally unexpected passing of Chloe's father, which obviously looks shit off, put a spanner and everything, do you know what I mean? And how did you bounce back from that emotions of everything that went on there, and the everything that went on, to go away and to run 2:12:28 then in Civil?
I think overall, like, I'm very blessed that Chloe's so supportive of what we're trying to do. I think overall, like, it's amazing. Like, 2, 3 weeks out, I was saying to you guys a while ago that, I think I was doing a session with Andy. It was during that real crazy weather there a couple of weeks ago where it was just lashing rain, the track was closed. And I think Andy said, geez, we're 3.5 weeks out or something from Seville. And I nearly gasped. I was like, man, I'm not ready. And you kind of go home then and you're kind of saying to yourself, Jesus, are we ready for this? You'd get so uptight over a race. At the end of the day, it's a bloody race. There's going to be 50 more Sevilles. There's going to be 50 more X or Y races around the place. But it's very hard to switch that off. And it means obviously a lot to everybody that's putting the work. And like the had a small niggle that I was kind of managing around 3 weeks out, and but it wasn't bothering me. Had a good run up in Raheny. Kind of was quite happy with that kind of run and was really looking forward to kind of getting to the start line in one piece. But still, like 2 weeks out, I remember turning to Chloe and a few other buddies just saying, this is like it's nearly over emotional because you're so hyped up over it. And then obviously when real life hits and you kind of get a tragedy like that that we had to kind of go through, and obviously Chloe, just pure of a sudden everything kind of snaps into reality straight away. And honestly, for the first 5 days, I didn't even think of running, didn't even think of Seville. And it's amazing, from a day before that, Seville, I'd go to bed, I'd wake up, brush my teeth, I'd be in a work meeting. Like, honestly, I think there was one day I had 4 meetings back to back, and I couldn't tell you what was talked about. It was all I was thinking about was the mile splits in Seville, and that's no joke. And then when
Hopefully, our
something,
employers won't be listening to this now either. But
hopefully not. They know I'm useless anyway. So my boss is in America, so hopefully. but yeah, and things like that. Then where you kind of realize that, oh, this is real. This is real life kind of stuff. And unfortunately, there's no coming back from something like that. So yeah, like Chloe's very strong, and obviously my whole job then was just to be there for her and her sisters and things like that. And when we were meant to fly out the Wednesday, so we were meant to have a really nice stint home in Seville and kind of get relaxed and things like that. But I guess about 10 days out is when about 12 days out is when everything kind of happened. And like, you're living like as a I somebody said to me the other day, it was like, if that was one of your rivals, how would you what would you think? And I said to myself, like, if that was one of my rivals, first of all, I wouldn't put it on my worst enemy. But if that was one of my rivals, I would say I would not be worried about him, because yeah, you've no sleep, you're living off Coca Pops, you're
The emotions drained.
emotionally drained. And like, I think, not to go into too much detail, but the Saturday, so 8 days out from Seville, we were going back to the hospital, but Chloe was like, look, you need to get your Monaghan Road session in, there's no ifs or buts. And I was like, I really didn't want to do it. And we parked up on Monaghan Road at like 8:30 in the morning, and I didn't warm up till 11 o'clock. Like, it was just, honestly, you're in the car for 2.5 hours just talking. And really then you're kind of like, I have no interest in doing this, or no interest of kind of just putting on the shoes. But as Chloe said, like, she was like, look, there's a big goal here, you need to shut up and get on with it, you know, and things like that, and kind of drive through. And we rebooked our flights then the Wednesday night, I think. We flew out the Friday. With the flight was packed with Cork runners and runners from up the country. It was unreal. But the 4 o'clock start on a Friday, 2 days out from a race, is definitely not ideal, especially on
It's
road.
not at the top of the list of anybody.
It's yeah, and like, after everything that we've been through, I was kind of saying stuff, shit, it's not the it's like, it's just part of the pile now, we're just gonna have to get on with it. And
And Ryan, when you once you got over there, and I'm not like as in you never ever see going to fail, did you kind of go into race mode when you got over there all of a sudden, or were you still kind of like, you know?
you're still like, the main job, and still is just to make sure that Chloe is okay, and things like that. It comes in waves, you know, that type of loss. And I was, and to be fair, Chloe couldn't be any more supportive. Any time we were talking, she was like, "How are you feeling? Blah blah blah." Like, let's go get your numbers. Like, the day before we went to, so I was lucky enough this year, I didn't have to go to the expo. We went to the hotel where all the elites were, and you hand in your bottles. Chloe had everything sorted bottle wise. I had all the mixes ready and my gels attached. I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff, which is so helpful. Dropped all that off, got the numbers, came back, and I think it was probably midday Saturdays when we were like, okay, we need to get in race mode here and kind of get right and things like that. So yeah, it definitely wasn't, put a lightly, ideal prep for something that I was aiming for nearly since Dublin, really. But I always knew I was going to try and do Seville, but I was kind of hoping if Dublin went a bit better, I could kind of throw caution to the wind in Seville and kind of go, you know, a bit mad and go out hard. And I know I probably went out a bit hard this time, but yeah, it was just, the whole week is honestly, when we haven't really kind of sat down and kind of comprehended everything that has gone on. But I guess when it came to race day, getting up, and it's funny, I saw this funny thing on Instagram there the other day, is where like, I looked at my Garmin the morning of the race, and it said my HRV was completely all over the place. told me, don't exercise, you need to rest. And I was like, this is super. I've had about 4 hours sleep tonight of the race, and I'm going to get up and kind of butcher myself. But overall, like, kind of got into it. Like, honestly, to anybody that hasn't kind of experienced, like, Dublin is a super marathon. We're very lucky to have it. And Cork, too. They're really, really well-run races. But when you go over to, I guess, something like Seville, where, like, you have everything there. It's a massive marathon. The weather is beautiful. It's not too hot at the start. It does get fairly warm. But the experience, something like that, is it's just... Yeah. There are the days that you kind of enjoy. And like Brian, now with Manchester, you're going to have an unbelievable experience because it's such a big marathon.
Yeah. I was just wondering if Chloe would be available to Manchester because she sounds like the best person to have.
She'd love it. She's sick of me at this stage. So.
Right, I got a question in, and the question literally just read, can Ryan do anything without Chloe? And that was literally the question.
I would stick a fork in the toaster, Damien, if I didn't have Chloe, to be honest. I'm not allowed left on my own. But no, honestly, I might get the miles in, but everything else from travel to nutrition to everything like that is looked after by Chloe.
Team effort. So.
Team effort, yeah.
And I will say this. I actually straight away, the minute we asked you about this, and the first words you said was, we, as in, so it's it's not just you, it's we, you know what I mean? Yes. And it just shows, like, so even when you're answering your question, you don't answer it, my goal is, it's our goal is, and like that just shows how much of a teammate she is, and then, you know, as in a team player and everything like that,
exactly. And it's a wee effort, like, because when you come home from a Saturday long run, or even I think she cycled up until probably 23 weeks pregnant with me on the long run on a Sunday. And like, just things like that now is like, I can tell you as a man, there's no way I could get through the stuff that women have to go through in terms of, like, she was 32 and a half weeks pregnant, I think, when we flew to Seville. And honestly, she was uncomfortable, to say the least. And she never gave out or never said anything or anything like that. But when the race is over, she did say, no, now you can take a fucking backseat for a while.
Yeah, it's about me, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But
don't worry, please go out, and you'll be preparing bottles now as well for different reasons in the future.
I never agreed to any date feeds, Brian. So it's not in the contract.
Just on the actual race itself, then, right, like, as in the build-up, because what I found fascinating watching it was the talk, you know, that there were so many elites in it this time around, that there was actually had to host two meetings, I think, on the day before, and discuss the water stations and things like that, which went, from what I could see, horribly wrong.
It was brutal. Yeah. It's like, and I know you were talking about last week, like, is it a communication error or what? Well, why did they keep making these mistakes? Because even 5K in at the first station, a guy actually stacked it right in front of me, and you're completely jarring yourself then to not to run into them, and it's like dogs in a racetrack. You know, the rabbit goes by and everybody loses their minds. It's like when you hit the first table, even though you know you're table 19, people are still trying to get into the right hand side to get clear view. When reality, you don't need that, but it's just chaotic. And it's amazing. Like, even I didn't experience that in Dublin, but like in Seville, everybody was like headless chickens around the place. That was the one side of it, right, that you just really need to be out of trouble. Like, you're nearly better off kind of sitting back from the group, because I honestly, at every station, somebody made a mistake where either they hit all the bottles on the table, or they just stacked it, which is pretty crazy, because it sounds fairly
I was chaotic. Childish. Yeah, it was chaotic, though. But right, we'll move on, all right? So, like, okay, I got a message from you the day or day after or whatever the race, and you just kind of broke through with ever so slightly your race, right? And as I said to you, I sent it to Brian straight afterwards, and in my exact words to Brian was like, fucking hell, this man is just, you know, mad, really, you know what I mean? But how stubborn you are as well, and determined. So, race day, you go, you start your race. Just tell people roughly what you went through with that. Obviously, no, right? 2:12:28. But we come to that in a sec, but what... how the race went for you?
Yeah, I knew let's call a spade a spade. Like, I knew that, like, Fergal was there, and Fergal was in serious nick. And even looking at some of the guys in Europe that were in the rankings ahead of me, I just knew that I had to get out aggressive. But I knew I was completely comfortable with that. I knew for the first, I put in perspective, I think my first 5 miles was about 2 seconds slower than what I won Rahini in only a couple of weeks ago. And I just knew you just had to go at that pace. And honestly, it felt really, really good. But you know, it's funny when you're looking down the first mile, I was like, this is a bit hard here. And I looked down, and it's like 4:44, I think it was the first mile or something like that. And I was like, I didn't even do this in Rahini, I don't think. But like, you're just getting tagged along. And I remember I was at the right at the back of the group, and I said, this is the wrong group for me anyway. And I looked behind, and there was nobody. There was absolutely nobody there. So that was my mistake last year, is where I said, this is too much. I'd be better off running on my own, which you never are, especially in a race like that. So I said, look, just kind of put on the seatbelt and just try and be grabbed through for the first couple of miles, and then things will settle down. Nobody's going to be running that pace unless you're going for a 206 read, you know, in the grand scheme of things, or 205. So I said, look, just sit in here and just see how you get on. And it went through the first 5 miles were fairly crazy hot in terms of pace. I think we went through 5K in like 15:10 or something, and kind of just kept on clicking along. But those 4:50s then slowly started to slow down to about 4:58, 4:57s. And then that was like right at the sweet spot where you can just kind of sit in. There was a group of about 10 of us. And then every mile, then you kind of got into a routine of like 4:58, 5:01, 4:58, and it was perfect. You really kind of get into a good flow then. And honestly, I don't know what it is, because like in Dublin, I think I was probably in just as good shape. Maybe changed a few things, but that was really hard from the get go. I knew from 5K, and I was like, this is way too hard. And I was probably running about 10 seconds slower per mile in Dublin. Whatever it is, going to Seville or a country that's kind of nice weather where you're not getting blown around the place.
Groups as well, Ryan, though. It's groups.
It's groups. Groups are everything. Like, if you can sit it, you see in the tour, obviously, in cycling, it's obviously a lot more noticeable. But if you can sit into a group and not worry about, see, it's a different type of racing. If you're, let's say, Rahini, I get worried when you're in a group like that, because you're saying, I need to break some of these guys that are in here very quickly. In Seville now, where you were just saying, you're literally want everybody, every one of these guys with you up until 26.6 miles, because you just want to be brought through and things like that. And like 10K, 15K, things were kind of moving really well. And it was a Polish chap that was really doing a lot of the work, and a guy from, I think it was from Portugal, and they were doing a lot of work, and they were starting to get very antsy that nobody else was taking up the work. So then this dumbass said, I'll jump in, I'll do it. And then, of course, I passed my brothers then, and Chloe and all my family, and they were like, what are you doing? Sit in, like, relax. And we hit halfway, and I think it was about 60, just over 65 minutes, 65 low. And honestly, it felt so easy. And considering Dublin, where I felt like death's door going through in 66 high or something, it's just you get into routine, and that's all groups. As you said, like, you if you can get into a good rhythm, it was just amazing. And kind of things, obviously, with the marathon, the race really starts at 20 miles. It's not a cliche, it really does. It really is everything, because up until 22 miles, I had the race of my life. Honestly, everything couldn't have gone. My nutrition went. Joe O'Connor, who's helped me with a lot of nutrition, he put me in the right track, because in Dublin, I took the first Morton drink at, I think, 10K, and I brought it up. And I don't think I was able to take any Morton from then on. So you know yourself, if you're doing a marathon, if you don't have fuel, you are going to blow up around that 20-mile mark, and it's going to be a bad day. Like in Seville, I couldn't have hit the nutrition any better than I did. I got every gel in that I could have. I got the Morton in when I had, and I got the water in. So everything at that point went well. It was just, in Seville, when you hit the 20-mile mark, you go through the big, it's a big cathedral, it's a big water fountain. You hit the cobblestones then, and for somebody like me, just, I don't know what it is, I just really struggle on cobblestones. It was as if somebody put a bag of potatoes on me. Like, really straight away, you go from really comfortable at like 5 flat pace to boom, you've hit a 5:12, and that 5:12 literally felt like like a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, I got back on it then from about 21 to 22, hit the pace that I needed to. And then I just knew 4 miles out, it was a combination of the weather and just not being strong enough. I slowly started to kind of lose a bit of time, but I knew going, actually at 20 miles, if you would ask me what I was going to run, it was going to be a 210 high is what I was expecting. And then to hit 4 miles to go and say, oh, am I going to hit 211 here?
Okay.
And then with 2K to go, 40K, when I hit 40K, I had absolutely nothing left. And I was really just trying to just hold the pace as best I could, because at that point, it's like a war zone. You're passing people. There's a lot of Afghans that were either pacing or they just blew up. They were as fellas walking. And it's funny because if you're not used to like looking at racing, you're saying, how is this guy in the lead if he's walking in a marathon? That's embarrassing. But it's all pace. And
no,
I just
you're underselling this ever so slightly, all right? So you're obviously not underselling, but like you had issues from 5K in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which you neglected to mention. So
yeah,
from 5K, you had Achilles flare up, was it?
Yeah, it was something like a small flare up that I had like from a couple of weeks out, and to be honest, it was just at me. It wasn't a big deal. It was just would have been great if I didn't get it, to be honest. But like overall, it was like at halfway, you're kind of thinking, Jesus, this is everything is kind of being thrown at you, especially over the last couple of weeks and things like that. But you grind through it, and just things like that, you just kind of, you find a way of kind of just motivating yourself and kind of stubbornness. I just knew everybody that had traveled and everybody that was around the place was there. And to be honest, the last 2K in particular, it was just quads. I really tried. It was literally when I hit 26 miles, I knew straight away then I had fecked up, and I was like, man, I'm hitting 212 here. And it was probably going to get worse. And my brothers were standing just at the 26 mile mark. And if you, Brian, remember the coverage or whatever at 26 miles, it's deceptive. Honestly, it looks like half a mile to go because you can't see the finish line. And the brothers were there. And I looked down as I passed them, and it was 2:11, I think 28 it was. And I was like, man, I'm nowhere near the finish. And I just knew the Olympic B standard is 2:12:30, and honestly, at 20 miles, I was like, "There's no way I'm not hitting that. Definitely getting that." And with 2K left to go, I just the quads just the cobbles or whatever it was just didn't agree, and I really tried to push. And the brothers were screaming, going, "You better haul yourself now. You better move." Yeah. And I just honestly, I look back at. And Strava that I looked at actually at the end of the race. I looked at my last 400 meters is about 4:40 pace. And I don't know where that came from because honestly, I was hitting 5:30s for 4 miles prior to that. I lost a minute over the last 3 miles, which is pretty.
It's a lot because you
work so hard to get those 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and you can lose it in a mile.
Yeah.
And it's just learning. And I'm really confident now of if you can like that now like you're saying is if you can just have a good run in, get as little niggles as you can, and hope the race day goes well. That you don't.
But
have
you can now trust yourself, Ryan, as well as you can run that, and you've run it to that point.
I'm very confident. Not to blow smoke, but I'm very confident I can run 2:10. I just need to do it now. It's definitely there. And just days like this, like where you can say like the nutrition went well, the race plan went well, and you just have to be happy with these type of days. Looking back now, you're kind of saying, geez, I lost a minute out there at a minimum, but it was a great day. Great buzz.
I'd say even for you, like how many marathons is that now? Is it three?
That's my third. Yeah,
like,
third.
Still a novice, very much as you say, I'd say everything you do, you're learning a bit more. And obviously, the fuel was a big one for you there now again. Mm. So, like, there are gains, you know,
yeah, exactly. Like, Seville last year, there was loads of issues with like, just really kind of not trusting the pace with 6 miles ago, and I really kind of let myself down there, not pushing. Dublin then was, it wasn't for lack of effort, but it just wasn't there in the day. And honestly, like I said it before, Dublin has taken years off my life, as in that I was absolutely shagged for 3 to 4 weeks after. I couldn't shake the tiredness. And then Seville then, whereas today is probably the first day where you kind of feel normal again. But for 5 or 6 days, my quads were in, I nearly stacked it twice over the last 200 meters coming in, where you're really trying to push it and you're kind of saying, I'm about to fall here, which would be embarrassing. But yeah, just the marathon is a really stupid distance.
It's 100% agree with you. 100%.
It keeps calling us back, though.
Oh, that's it. It's my favorite
You've
race.
already planned it. No, do you know what I mean? In your head, like, what are you watching? Well, hopefully, what we're going to do now, Ryan, is I'm going to pause it here for a second with you, and we're going to move on to some of the results from the weekend. And what we're going to do on the other side, I want to chat to you about your obviously goal, which is your Olympics, and where that race now leaves you and where we're fixed. So we'll move on to the results.
Mike's Hassett here with a race report from Imre Clonmel Trail Half Marathon on a beautiful clear Saturday, the 24th of February. This tough half had it all: wood trails, river crossings, an open mountain with spectacular views. The winners of this race with over 800 metres elevation were female 1, Keila Tideswell 2, Carl Finn 3, Sorica Kearney; male 1, Enda Cloak 2, Barry Hartnett 3, Henry Brown. Thanks to Deirdre O'Gorman and all the volunteers for another fantastic race. Special mention to Damien for the post-race catering and Hillview Sports Club. Next event in the Imra Munster calendar is the Mushra Bagar race on the Sunday 3rd of March. This is the opening race in the Fog and the Bog League.
And thanks to Mags for that. Names again, Brian. Like, seriously. Right, Brian, you listen to this and you've heard these names, I would say, umpteen times. Teasley Tisdale, Carl Finn were the first two women in the Imra race again. Like, I think every single week, honest to God, I think they've been mentioned.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable consistency. Like, it's nuts consistency from them.
Yeah. And again, can do it on road, can do it in trail and different terrain and all that. And obviously, Saoirse Kearney was third there as well.
Yeah.
In the male event again, Enda Cloak. Well done, Enda, a name we've heard before, Barry Hartnett and Henry Brown as well. So,
well done, lads.
Good stuff.
Competition we had a couple of weeks ago, the Londis Adair 10K. This is a massive 10K. It sells out every single year. Fairness to was limited to give us the competition when the bracelet had already sold out. So we really appreciate that. Names again, Ryan, you've probably raced against plenty of times. Niall Shanahan.
Yep. Top athlete.
Top athlete. In winning it in 31 minutes 34 seconds. Declan Moore was in second place in 31:42, and Carl Fitzmaurice in 31:54 was in third. So a close race there for first, second, and third. In the ladies, Caroline Hayes took the win in 38:46, with Pamela Kirby in 40:24 in second, and Claire Coleman in a time of 40:25 in third place. Great race. It's one, I think, I really loved. Actually, I actually love Adair. I think Adair is a stunning part of this country. And I mean that. We were there. I was there last year.
I'm surprised you get left into Adair. Kind of think you bring the level of that place down.
I have connections in there, so it's
okay. That's the way.
You know
That
what I mean? So
explains it. So
that's why I'm left in there. So it's the only reason I'm left in there. I was in
Fair
Adair
enough.
Manor last year, guys.
I know you'd
You
have an
know
ex some way of getting in,
what I mean?
because
So, you know, so
they couldn't be letting
it's about
riffraff
who you
with you.
know,
Yeah, it's
but
all
who
the
you know,
connections.
not what you know. So no, it's a great race, and I think it's one. Seriously, I think that next year the Runner's Diary should get approved to try to pop down there. And Ryan, after you win Olympic gold medal and stuff like that, you can come down with it and, you know, show it off.
My dreams.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan,
Another
next
big one
one.
today. Yeah, another big one again, another competition we had a couple of weeks ago. Like, I actually didn't spot this till just now. And like, for those, again, it was horrific conditions today. And down in Kinsale, obviously our coastal region, you know, I see a lot of people posting pictures and things where they were absolutely swept away.
Monsoon.
924 finishers at that one on a day where you wouldn't put many people out in it. So
Yeah, and you'd
really,
set 800 in a dare.
yeah,
Well, you
exactly.
know,
There you go,
like.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, to everybody genuinely who took part and who stewarded and who volunteered on a day like today, hats off completely. But there is a few winners to call out. And again, names that are well known to us here again. So first home there was Tim O'Donoghue from East of Cork SC in a time of 52:05. Second,
Class.
yeah, another class runner, exactly, Evan Fitzgerald in a time of 52.57. And third, Sergio Ciobano from Clanliffe Harriers AC in 53.39. Again, a former guest as well. You would have bumped into a few of them, Ryan, over your time.
Yeah, there's not much to say that not everybody knows. Like, just really strong runners, like, whether cross country, road, or track, they're all going to be there at national
It's a
level.
good win by
So,
Tim, a strong win because
great
like
win.
Evan's in good form as well at the moment. You know what I mean? So it's a very good, and to win by, what was it, 50 seconds? It's a commanding win from Tim.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like that top three is good enough to go to any race around the country, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Definitely. In the ladies' event, good to see Aoife Cook back again. So Aoife Cook from Eagle SC in a time of 1 hour, sorry, 1 hour 3:31. Amazingly, just 2 seconds behind teammate Catherine Murphy from Eagle SC. So that was a great race there, but it sounds things. And
Great
third,
race.
a name we mentioned quite regularly, and again, super runner and super person too, Breeda Gaffney from Mallow AC in a time of 1 hour 4:56. So strong runner by the ladies
Yeah,
there as
another
well.
great
Fair
run as
play.
well. Like, it's obviously great, good to see Phil back racing, but Catherine Murphy's had a phenomenal, like, in a year and a half. She's had a massive, she's just jumped so much in the last year and a half, and just continuing to farm and in fairness, sort of cracking race. Like, you see the picture of Aoife Cross
Exciting,
winning
yeah.
it. And catching just shortly behind. So, well done to everyone who took part in that. And, again, thank you to the two clubs as well for the competitions as well.
Hello, people. Well, Fionnuala McCormack made a surprise appearance at the European Club Champions Cross Country Championships near Albufeira in Portugal on Sunday, finishing a creditable eighth in the women's race. McCormack will compete in her fifth Olympic Games later this year, about a month before celebrating her 40th birthday. In case any of you might have forgotten, McCormack was the European cross country champion in both 2011 and 2012, and she has always said that cross country is her first love. Seven Irish club teams were competing in Portugal after finishing in the top two at the All-Ireland Championships last November. In the senior men's race, Finn McNally of North Belfast Harriers finished best overall of the Irish in 31st place. Next came the evergreen Owen Everard in 46th place. He was leading Kilkenny City Harriers to 17th place of the 31 club teams entered. North Belfast, competing for the first time ever at this level, was one place behind in 18th. In the women's senior race, Dublin City Harriers was led home by Cliona Murphy in 39th place, with the team 11th of the 23 teams entered. Louis Mallon, a talent to watch out for, led home the Lagan Valley team in the under 20 men's race, finishing 13th, with the team 9th of the 17 enters. Only a week earlier, Mallon had finished third behind Cathal Doyle and Nick Griggs in the 1500 metres at the All Ireland Indoors. Clonliffe Harriers finished 13th team, with Sean Cronin leading them home in 17th place. Teams from Youghal and Kilkenny City Harriers were competing in the under 20 women's race, and for Youghal, Avril Millerick finished 12th with the team 9th. Just one place behind in 10th place was Kilkenny, led by Clodagh O'Callaghan, 29th. A Dublin City Harriers quartet finished 8th in the mixed relay, which consisted of four 1500 metre laps. Two places behind in 10th place was Vasbarnham WSAF. All of the Irish teams travelled in force to Portugal, with many taking part in the open races. It sounds like it was a lot of fun. Irish athletes were running indoors in both Europe and the USA, and as we know, a compact Irish team will compete at the World Indoors starting in Glasgow on Friday. Sarah Lavan and Sarah Healy are probably our best chances of a medal. Good luck to all team members. Finally, since it has become increasingly difficult for Dublin clubs and the Business Houses Athletics Association to host races in their own neighbourhoods, it's no surprise to find big Dublin entries in races held in neighbouring counties. Dublin Raiders dominated the Duleek and District 5K held in County Meath on Sunday, with Kevin Donoher of Rathfarnham WSAF the race winner ahead of Donore's Dara Keegan. Colin Leonard of Drogheda and Dundalk upheld the honour of County Meath to finish third, with Cillian O'Leary of Raheny Shamrock fourth and first M40. First woman was Rathfarnham's Laura MacDonald, with Clonliffe Harriers taking the women's team prize and finishing second in the men's competition. We now hear that the BHA has started looking outside the Dublin parks for race locations after two of its recent fixtures were cancelled at the last minute by local councils. The good news is that a women's meet and train league race will take place on the National Cross Country Course at Rabbitstown on Sunday, and we can assure you that the organised are not being charged the €1,200 fee. Plus, watch out for a new BHAA cross-country race in County Meath on fields provided by a local farmer over the next few weeks. And that's it for this week, folks.
Move back briefly to you. All right, I'm going to ask you questions first, okay, before we get into your goal, all right? So I've got a couple of questions in, all right? First one, what's your favourite session? I think we might have asked this before, we'd ask it again.
Favourite session? 5x2 mile. Or a tempo. I do love a good 10-mile tempo. Favorite session, yeah, 5x2 mile on a really nice day. Can't get better.
Lovely. Okay, what advice would you give to someone running their first marathon?
Run a few 10Ks first.
Okay. And why?
I think it's very easy to jump into the marathon block too early. You know, you could be an experienced runner, you could be a new runner that thinks marathon is the only race you need to do. But like leading up to Dublin, I didn't race. I did one half in, I think it was August, and I didn't race again till Dublin. And it makes such a big difference. Like if you can get a few 5K, 10Ks, 4 milers under the belt, it just makes the body work so much better under the marathon. Pace-wise.
Is it a bad time to mention, so Ryan, that I'm going to my 15th marathon and I've, would you believe, never ran a 10K?
Really? Wow.
I've never ran a 10K. There's a reason for it.
Okay. You're going to be grand. There's no worries there. I think I'm probably using my own experience. I just think that if you get into, like, I love the Grange for my 10K because the last 2 years, especially with Seville coming so close, it's just a perfect race to kind of blow the cobwebs off. Because it's very easy to get into that marathon pace straight away. When if you just go into a 10K where you're just probably running 20 seconds faster per mile than what you do your marathon in, it's just a nice feeling.
But, so race more. Not more, race a bit more consistent.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you just keep horsing through training, which does work too, don't get me wrong, it just, in my own eyes, it makes the pace on race day in the marathon easier.
Yeah.
And if you just want to have an experience where you just enjoy it, then you can rock into a marathon and enjoy it at the pace you want to do that makes it enjoyable.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Couple more. So how do you manage to say hello to everyone you pass, even during your sessions?
It's just routine. I think if you're nice to everybody, I think good camera, maybe, I don't know. I think because I've been known in the past to be kind of like oblivious, and like I've ran past Chloe before when she's walking and she's like, you just completely blanked me. So now if I pass anybody and if they even look like they're looking at me, I give them a wave.
I got two more for you, Ryan. One, are you going to go back to Ballantodes anytime soon in the future to race?
I'd love that. Like I'll go on the plan. I'm going to take a couple of weeks handy now. Obviously, because we're expecting our first kiddo, so that's probably going to take priority. But if I can get away with it, I'll be down Ballantodes in April. Not a bother. It's great. I only said it to John Cashman the other day. I think it's one of the best races that you can run and get a buzz, like it's a national championships. The crowd down there and the locals love it.
It's a great race. We myself and Brian have said this. Like Brian's actually never done it.
Oh, Brian, if you can get on it, man.
It's just that it's a Thursday evening. It's bad for me normally with work, but I've heard so much. It's a must. I'll definitely get there.
And you know who this person might, you might know from the question. Were you able to get your hillbillies into you after finishing in Seville?
I did. I haven't actually got hillbillies since Seville, but I had hillbillies the week before. I had a snack box meal, which is great prep for a marathon. So if anybody tells you need to be eating your nuts and seeds and all that, it's a load of bollocks. You can eat whatever you want when you're training 100 mile a week.
First here.
Yeah. Thank you, Pete, no doubt. I'm a big fan of hillbillies, so if they ever want to sponsor me some chicken, I'm there. So.
There's nothing wrong with that. Right. Now, the most important question of all right, was your 2:12:28 down to your new training partner that you got who joined Leeville recently, certain name called Andy Goulding?
Yes, that is the secret to everything.
There
Andy
you go.
is Andy. If I could be around Andy more often, I would have been a 207, I think.
I know, but he's that unbearable that it's not even worth spending time with him. So that's what you're saying, is
No,
it?
to be fair, he's a breath of fresh air anyway, because I'd have the lad's head melted on a Saturday, because one, I'm always late, as you know,
Yes.
and two, I'm so inflexible with some of my sessions. And to be fair, Andy could rock up and be like, "That's what are we doing? Grand, let's rock on." So, breath of fresh air, to be honest.
Can you confirm for us as well that he runs topless these days?
Oh, jeez.
Ryan's so
The
far ahead of
times
us.
I fancy.
There
Ryan is
was
so
rumors
far
going around
ahead,
that he
he
was
doesn't
running
even know
around
what's going on.
topless. Yeah.
To be fair, I could be wrong. I think there was only one day that I trained with Andy that he hasn't had the top on. But to be
Oh.
fair, I'm knowing myself. And there was I think the week before Dublin, it was lashing rain, and I always said to myself, "What's the point of wearing like a long sleeve and a t-shirt over it?" Sure, I went topless, and everybody thought I was mad too. So
There you go.
I'm in good company.
There'll
There'll
be
be
people
there
down
you go.
in queuing up to watch your next training sessions, I'd say,
That's
yourself and Andy.
hobbling
Yeah.
hobbling along the place. So.
Right. Brilliant. Okay, Andy, there you go. You got your answer. You're the reason for Ryan's 2:12:28. So 2:12:28 Seville, Olympic marathon. All right, we're all very confused. Where does that leave you?
Yeah, the rankings aren't the easiest. That's where I kind of got Donal Coakley, who's been
Snapped up.
whiz. Yeah, he's been brilliant. And obviously, even Lizzie there after the race, too, she did a lot of research into it. So you need to have the best average of your two races, and you need to hit a minimum the Olympic B standard. So the A standard is 208, which is. I don't need to say how crazy that is. Like, John Tracy wouldn't be in Olympic Games. Obviously, now with the shoes, he would be. But, like, that
Yeah.
puts into perspective Scuddion, who is our best marathoner. Like, he hasn't done that.
Yeah.
So you need to hit a B standard. So that was 2:12:30. And you need to have your average then over the two.
So you have
So
to be standard.
I have the B standard, yeah. And what kind of why Dublin was so important, too, is that you have your time, but also since the national championships, you have world ranking points there. So I have an extra 35 points from there, which probably puts. I haven't looked at it. God's honest truth, I haven't looked at it. I haven't stomach to look at it. But you'll run. I think my average is around the 2:11:40 at the moment. If you average the extra points from Dublin and this Seville, so my Seville last year doesn't count. At the moment, I'm just outside the 80. I think Donald was saying that. Look, I need a bit of luck. I need the Brits not to bring three. I need the Germans probably to bring two, and I need a small bit extra luck. It's a flip of a coin. That's the one thing that's disappointing about the race last week, is that I know there was a 2:10 there. I just kind of left it behind me. So I hit the B standard, and you know what? If as galling as it be and upsetting and things like that, if I don't make it, I don't make it. I gave it everything I
Yeah.
could for the last couple of months with everything going on. And look, I didn't think I'd be saying this, because like I with my body and everything with the injuries, but I'd love to give it another cycle a go and try and see what we can do,
Yeah.
body
And
depending.
when is the cutoff? Is there a cutoff date coming soon
Yeah,
with your
April. So I think London is the last chance for somebody to go and run a time. After that, then World Athletics will send out the invites to, I said, a top 80. And with everything the last couple of years, you'll have injuries, you'll have affiliates that won't take the three quota. So, like, you'll have, like, I think I read the other day that the Brits are saying that if you don't have the A standard, we're not bringing you. So I think there's only two there that have the standard. So I'd probably have to wait till probably the end of May to figure out, which is really annoying, because you know yourself, you're trying to train for something.
Of
But
course, yeah. And
like the
you need to
Europeans,
keep on your toes as well, though, still, you know, you kind of need to still be like, you need to plan as if you are doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, at the moment I'm qualified for the European champs in, I think they're July, so June, end of June. So like that's going to be sole focus. I really like to come back from all the foot and hip surgeries and all that, to say like a European championships is a disappointment, like, you know, it's a good thing.
Right,
So
you've come from the depths of despair, really, with injuries. You know,
yeah.
where you never probably at one stage you probably never thought you'd run again, to now
Yeah.
where you've run a 2:12:28. It like it just shows again the drive that you have and the determination and a strong team with Chloe and your family, your brothers, your mother, everybody. You know what I mean? Like these things need to fall into place
Yeah.
for that to happen.
And I think as well, like, unfortunately, like the way we're talking now, we're not sure, but like to get to 12 in years gone by, I say, like what a time that would be to get you into the
Yeah.
Olympics and things like that. It's just that the
Four
times
years
keep moving
ago,
forward. Like,
it was done. You were in.
yeah,
Yeah.
there you
Yeah.
go.
I, yeah. And like Don was saying too, like even the world champs last year, you needed a 2:13 mid to get in. But look, that's just the kicks. So
But fingers crossed, look, we're all,
but look, I think
yeah.
anyway, your most important goal for this year is going to be, happening in a
How to
few weeks'
change a nappy.
time, change a nappy, and learn how to do that, tape up the gel to the bottle for the baby, these are
Yeah.
all
There'll be a strict mileage program after 4 weeks.
So everything after that is just going to be an added bonus. And no matter what we said at the start, you gave your every ounce of you out of that to run that time. And yes, you were on whatever it was at the time, but there was nothing you could do. These things just happen, unfortunately. But like, what a run, and what a
Super run, yeah.
like the amount of messages we even got, like, and people were saying like, "Christ, he's like unbelievable. So proud of you!" Like the whole of Ireland and the whole of Ireland Athletics was just incredibly proud of everything that you done that day
Yes,
and
yes.
where you ran it.
For me, it was my second favorite moment since I've got to know you, small but even. But
Cheers.
my favorite moment, of course, has to go back to the Runner's Diary after party last year at the Cork
Oh,
City
yes.
Marathon. So hopefully we'll see you there again. Would you
No,
some
I'll
more
be there.
stories for us up on stage? That went down. That
Yeah.
was one. That was something else. Yeah.
No, and that was great crack. Well, that was a great day. I had a
Yeah.
sore head the next day after, that's for
We all
sure.
had. Yeah.
No, look, Ryan, honestly, thanks for coming on. After the week, you could have told us go fuck off as well. It's just as easy, do you know what I mean? In
No,
fairness,
not at all.
you salute everybody. You're not going to say no to, Brian, like he's too powerful.
Chalk it down, yeah.
The race director for Bween, like you can't be messing with him.
Chalk it down. I will hit that 5K, I promise you.
Yeah.
Every time I'm saying
When
I'd
you
be there.
retire,
Last year was a hamstring issue, so I promise you I'll be there.
you'll be there sometime.
He'll be there.
That's fair enough.
You can start the race if you need to, okay? You
There
can
you
do
go.
that, all right? You can start the
Yeah.
race from.
Okay, with that, we'll now move to our featured fixtures section. And again, all these races are people who have contacted us and given away entries each week for some of our competitions. So again, we're just calling out those races again. So what first one up is the Courses AC 5 mile road race, and that takes place on Sunday, March the 10th, so coming up quite soon. Again, great race. It was first year last year. We got great feedback from that race last year. And again, one to attend. Again, a bit unique. There's parts of the race on the Gary Lucas Beach. Sounds good value for money. And again, look, get out and support the races that are supporting us. So again, that's the Courses AC 5 mile road race on Sunday, March the 10th at 9:30 at Gary Lucas Beach.
Second feature fixture is the Talla AC annual 5K road race split, which takes place on St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March at 10 a.m. €20 entry fee, with lovely designed t-shirt for yourself, plenty cash prizes, and David chosen charity as well, which is the in I actually can you pronounce this, Brian? What is it there?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And just test me now, right? It's Endometriosis
Association of Ireland. So
Association of Ireland.
let's have a look and
Yeah,
see what
fair
that
play to
actually
them.
is. So
Yeah.
no, fair play to him. And it is it should be a very, very popular race. And as myself and Brian have said loads of times, Patrick's Day, 10 a.m, do the run and then you deserve your pints afterwards.
Okay, next one up is another very big race. It's the Mallow 10 mile road race, and that takes place on Sunday, March 24th. It's also this week's competition, as we mentioned earlier. Again, we spoke about this race last week as well. It's a really good event, well organized, a good course, fair course overall, I think. And again, well organized by Mallow AC, and they go to a lot of effort there. So that's Mallow AC 10 mile road race Sunday, March the 24th. And again, check out Eventmaster for all the details on that one.
Yeah, of course, that's our this week's competition. So, you can give it more support this week. Next race is the Killarney Valley AC Streets of Killarney 5 mile road race on Good Friday, the 29th of March at 6 p.m. So, held in Killarney Town Centre. Absolutely ideal location. Drive from anywhere, get the train in there, make a whole weekend of it. I think it's actually a great, Friday evening. It's a
Yeah,
lovely day, though, isn't it?
race out the win on Friday, stay in
Yeah.
Killarney. Sounds like a good night to me.
Sounds like a great weekend. No, definitely get out plenty again, plenty cash prizes. It's definitely one to sign up for. And again, like all these other races, eventmaster.ie is the place to go.
And the big races keep coming. The next one is again a race that needs no introduction. I think it sells itself every year. It's the Ballantodes 4 mile road race on Thursday, April 18th at 8 p.m. And again, always one of the first evening races. So great sign as well when you hear this one start to get advertised that we're coming into the hopefully the better weather. And it's a great event, hugely well organized event, has been for years, gets big numbers, and I think nearly always sells out as well. I think
Does, yeah, like all well over always 1,000 people at the moment.
it tells people, drags people from ever, even though it's a Thursday evening, you would think, maybe, but like again, a quality race, no matter when it's organized or what time, people will get there. So this is the Ballantodes 4 mile road race on Thursday, April the 18th at 8 p.m. An absolutely outstanding race, and I know a huge community effort, and they really put on a great show, great spread afterwards as well. So certainly worth doing. And again, that's in association with the East Cork AC Club. So definitely check out that one if you're thinking about it.
And our next race is the Bandon AC road race, which takes place on April 25th at 7:30 p.m. So they're helping raise funds for their 400 meter track, which is going to be a brilliant addition to everyone in the Bandon AC club, which is absolutely a massive club from everyone juniors to seniors. So that's the Bandon AC. On the 20 on April 25th at 7:30. So get down there and support that for sure. And Brian, another competition that obviously we have this week. You lead us because you're one of the race directors.
One of four, yeah. So again, as you said, it's competition number two this week. So it's the Rebel Diamond Series. So four races this year, a new event, four exciting races. And in fairness, the four clubs involved already, pushing this event forward, in particularly Mount Hilary, which is the first race in Bantyre. That's the Bantyre 5 mile road race, which takes place on the 10th of March. That's race one of the series. Race two is the Drumahan 5K road race. That takes place on the 20th of April. Again, that's the 20th of April for the Drumahan Roadrunners 5K. Next up is my own club, Boyne Trailblazers, or Boyne 5K. Again, one of the top races around on the 12th of May. It's again, like Ballantodes, we mentioned earlier, a race that stands and speaks for itself. So that's coming up on the 12th of May. And finally, the Buttevant AC 4 mile road race. Again, that's on a Friday evening on the 17th of May. A nice way to finish it off there. Four good races, four clubs that I know are putting in Trojan work behind the scenes to make it as good as it can be. And as I said, particularly at the moment, you can see a lot of activity, from the Mount Hilary AC Club, who lead the charge on the first race in Bantyre. I've done this one a few times. It's actually a nice course. It's a nice course, and I wouldn't say it's super flat, but it's pretty flat. It's a few little pulls here and there, but certainly potentially PB course. But again, Mount Hilary AC really doing a lot of work at the moment. So that's the 10th of March. That's the first race. As you mentioned earlier, it's our second competition this week. There'll be an entry to each one of those races. So, good prize there. When you consider each race is averaging, I suppose, now around €15 roughly. So a nice prize for somebody to
Oh,
win
it's a
there.
great prize. And look, best of luck to everyone involved with it.
And just again, there overall there will be obviously the individual races will carry their own prizes and category prizes and so on and so on. As the league, as the Rebel Diamond League, there'll be prizes for the top three overall, male and female. And there'll also be a memento cup or mug, whatever you want to call it, for everybody who runs in the four races. So hopefully this will become a collector's item as well. So again, check out the social media pages for more details, either in each of their clubs or the Rebel Diamond League have their own Facebook page as well.
Yeah, and again, and a massive thank you to everybody who has sent in their race. And if there's anybody else who wants to support ourselves by giving prizes and entries. We are more than happy to add you to our future fixtures. But that's it. Ryan, sports travel, six majors. Would you ever think of doing? I know obviously like the majors aren't in your head right now, but would you love to do the six majors?
Yeah, I would, yeah. Like anytime, like any, like I said earlier, if you can go to a foreign marathon, that's really good buzz, and all the majors do have that. So, I'd love to.
Pick
And if
your
you
number
go
one.
doing it
If you
with
had
a
to pick
training group,
one, if you had to pick one, if you had to pick one right now.
if I had to pick one, do you know, I'd probably Tokyo.
Oh,
Tokyo, is
okay,
that one
very
of,
good. Tokyo, it is, yeah. But actually, interesting, you'll hear it now when you listen to this episode. Paul was saying that he recommends for Tokyo to be kept to last,
Okay, just as
because
in
it's
toughness.
the harder one
Okay.
to get into, the harder one to get to. But
Yeah.
we're going to move on to our interview, which is thank you to Shoe Rescue, which will be on its way to Ryan Creech for this lovely time that he's given us. So Ryan is going to get himself a tub of Shoe Rescue there now
I've
in
used it many times
tomorrow.
before,
So
so.
there you go, and that wasn't even planned. So
Major endorsement there.
so interview is with Sports Tours Travel from Paul O'Hanlon. And so Paul talked us through obviously the six majors and what they do. They also have Club Los Santos in Lanzarote. Any interest in going to Sunshine Holidays, Ryan?
I'd love it.
I
I'd
love it
absolutely love
myself.
it.
I know I'd
Yeah.
love it myself. But more interesting as well, we talk about the seventh major coming in and how that impacts them and how it impacts this six-star medal that people want.
Who's
And
the seventh major? Sorry, I didn't.
Australia, Australia.
Oh, wow.
And potentially eight as well, isn't there?
Wow.
And eight Cape Town in apparently 3 years' time. So Australia coming in next year once they meet all the criteria this year. But anyway, Ryan, you have to listen to all this anyway. Okay,
You'll
we'll
hear
put
it.
this.
Yeah, I will.
Right. So over to Paul, and we'll catch you on the other side.
So this week we're delighted to welcome Paul O'Halloran to the show. Paul is from Sports Tours International, and great to have him on board. It's a service I've used in the past and can only speak highly enough of. Something a bit different on this episode as well. So welcome to the podcast, Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Damien. Pleasure to be here.
No, it's great to have you on because look, this is an area that I've always looked at doing, and I've actually never bit the bullet yet and actually went away and done a major. So I'm going to be intrigued of what Sports Tours Travel will bring me if I serve go with your service. So I'm looking forward to this one on myself, Paul.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good. I'll talk a bit about Sports Tours International and how it first
Yeah.
became. I think it's a nice story. There's a gentleman called Vince Regan, an Irishman, who was a fireman, and he was based in a place called Farnworth, near where I live in Bolton. And he was an international runner, ran many marathons over the years. And back in, and we're talking in the early 70s now, and Vince decided that he would go and run the New York Marathon. And he looked into it and basically put together a little team that included himself and six other runners. And they went over to the New York Marathon, ran the race, had a brilliant time. And on the way back, Vince started to think about, well, a lot of people wanted to join me on this event. This was back in 1973. Maybe I could do this again. So it was covered in the local paper, and a lot of people did indeed say that they would like to run the New York Marathon because Vince was heavily involved in the Bolton Marathon back then. So we knew a lot of people in and who wanted to race marathons. So one thing led to another, and he formed the business Sports Tours International. Remembering he was still a fireman at this stage. And in 74, we took tens of runners, and then that has gradually grown into the business that is here today. So we were delighted to celebrate our 50th anniversary back in November with the New York Road Runners. So we've been consistently sending runners to New York every year, and I was one of those runners. Once upon a time, I ran the New York Marathon with Sports Tours International. And yeah, we this year we will send in excess of 1,200 runners to the New York Marathon. So it's what I term as our blue ribbon event, and it's grown extremely popular. So yeah, I'd be
You
delighted
went from
to.
six people sold out to 1,200 people. You know, it's the logistics behind it just must be bananas. Even back in 1973, the logistics for six people probably to go to the New York Marathon is was
Yeah.
madness even back then, I would say, you know, organizing everything then. We just take New York, like, sorry, for example, you do New York, you
Yeah.
do obviously the six majors, I would presume, altogether.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, so for those that aren't necessarily aware, the Abbott World Marathon Majors consist of six world-class events all over the world. So there's three in the States, so they being Boston, New York, and Chicago. There's two in Europe, London and Berlin, and then there's one in Asia that is in Tokyo, Japan. And that edition is in 2 weeks' time. So yeah, a week on Sunday, it's the Tokyo Marathon. So basically, in 2016, there was a system created called the Abbott World Marathon Majors. And basically, if you run all six majors, you get what's called a six-star medal. So it's you're honored basically for running all those marathons. And you know, this is what we do as a business. We send people, hundreds of people, to all six marathons in pursuit of their dreams, to achieve the six. Because as you know, runners like objectives, like targets, like to
We like the
set
bling.
themselves
We like the
goals.
bling.
And they like the medals as well, and the medals are absolutely fantastic. But the kind of icing on the cake is the six-star medal. And you know, it's for anybody who's interested in pursuing the six-star journey, there's a fabulous website, Abbott World Marathon Major website, that's full of information on all the majors. And you know, you can get lots of information from there. And of particular note, there is what something that I always find interesting, and it's called the Hall of Fame. And it basically shows everyone who's done five majors and everyone who's done six majors. So I was having a look yesterday, and in Ireland, there are 249 named six-star finishers. So there's 249 people have achieved the dream of getting the six-star medal. And when you look at the five stars, there's 163 people who are on the five-star, and they tend to have either Tokyo or Boston marathons left to do, achieve their six-star medal. So basically, the journey is that when you complete each race, you send your finishing times to Abbott, and they put your name in their portal and register your time, so you can build up time. As I said before, we've got the Tokyo Marathon in 2 weeks' time. And again, I was looking yesterday, and one of our runners, a guy called William Guinea, I don't know if you know him, but an Irish guy, big marathon runner. And Willie's on the five-star finisher portal at the moment, and he's the one race he's got to do is the Tokyo Marathon, and he's running with us in 2 weeks' time. Now, what's interesting about Willie is that his first major marathon he did in 1985, and he ran the New York Marathon in 1985, and he had a time of 3 hours 7 minutes. And then, so 39 years later, he's running the Tokyo Marathon with us to achieve his six-star finish. And that's the whole point, really. This is it's a excuse, pardon the pun, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You can this is a lifetime journey that people undertake. It's not something that you would do in 12 months, even though I know a guy who has done it in 12 months. This is something that you can do over a long period of time.
And
And
Paul, sorry, I don't know. Just we say we'll take William there for example. So, just for yourself though, he's doing Tokyo, and we just give someone a brief example of how your service helps them achieve that. So they obviously want to go, right, I'm going to go to Tokyo. What's their first port of call then? Is it straight to your website?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's straight to our website. And so for Tokyo, we have a range of options. So basically, what you're buying from us, Damien, is the accommodation package. So you've got a choice of hotels, a choice of nights. And then with that, you would buy your race entry. And as you can imagine, the demand is very high, and entries for Tokyo do sell out very quickly. But we have a choice. And basically, within the price that you pay alongside your accommodation, is that we put a minimum of two reps into every hotel. So we have a desk both morning and night. So if you've got any questions, anything that you need, any help whatsoever, we can assist you with that. Then on the Friday night, we always do a meet and greet in the hotel. So that's a free bar. So, us marathon runners, we don't drink a lot, so it doesn't cost us an awful lot of money to put on the free
Try
bar.
do that on a Sunday night.
And 24 hours before you're running a marathon, you don't want to be drinking too much. But that gives an opportunity for everybody to, it's we call it our meet and greet, and it's very popular with our runners because it gives our runners an opportunity to meet each other and just talk about the training, talk about the tactics, and so on. And then on the Saturday morning, we do a 5K shakeout run. So again, our guys will take you out on an organized 5K shakeout run. And then also on the Saturday, we will do a pre-race briefing. So we get everyone congregated and we talk through Sunday's race from start to finish and basically prepare everyone for the race. And then we give everyone an opportunity to ask questions about, what's the parkour's like, what's the elevation, what miss splits, and oh, we get all sorts of questions, and we've got guys on hand to answer all those. We obviously take you to the expo, which from a Tokyo perspective, we use public transport to get to the expo in Tokyo. And as you can imagine, it's not easy to get from your hotel to the expo. So we guide people all along the way. We take you to the start line on the Sunday morning. We organize a cheer zone for family and friends, which is becoming increasingly popular. I don't know if you've seen that on our social media posts, but we're big into our cheer zones and it being a fabulous experience for everyone. Then we have a post-race party.
Is this the free bar included in that?
It's completely free. Food and drink we supply. So, for example, New York Marathon, for the past couple of years, we've hired out the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. So we have over 1,000 runners, and we take over the entire place. And it's just everybody is super excited because, they're all wearing the medals. The fortunate ones amongst them are wearing the six-star medal. So it's really a celebration of the day, really, because they've all had a fabulous day.
If I
And then,
jump in
sorry.
there, Paul, yeah, just because I just want to vouch for what you said, because I did the London Marathon through yourselves many years ago, and you just said a few things there that reminded me. So, like the reps were, I forgot about that, but the reps were incredibly helpful before the race and after the race. I remember coming back, limping back to the hotel, and they were there waiting in the foyer and welcoming people back, which was great. And again, if that feeling of being
Did it
part.
help you upstairs, Brian?
There was lifts, it was okay. But and that feeling of being part of a club. I think I remember I met a guy on the plane on the way over, and from who I didn't know, but he was running. We got talking. Then we ended up realized that we're going to the same hotel. We met for breakfast that morning of the race. We busted to the start line together as well, through yourselves. So you do build up that kind of camaraderie ship with people in the city. It's like a club, as I said, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we've really focused on over the past few years is because running as a group, as a community, is really cool, and everybody helps each other out. And we've got, from an Irish perspective, got a superstar team. We've got a guy called Porrick and another guy called Owen, who, you know, are both marathon runners themselves, both ran Dublin last October, and they, you know, they are their words of wisdom and advice that they give to the runners is second to none. So yeah,
And is that same format copied throughout all the major marathons then? That exact same as in
yes.
the whole, you know, reps and everything like that.
Yeah, and it's the entire package. So, you know, we look after our runners from start to finish, and that's the service that we provide. So we're more than just an accommodation and a race entry package. We offer everything else because, you know, I don't know, you know, when I reflect on it, when I reflect on what we do as a business, and I think, you know, that when I did the New York Marathon with Sports Tours International, and I hope it's the case with you, Brian, when you're around London, it's one of those things that you remember forever. It's a bucket list thing. It's a world-class event. You know, in New York, you had 55,000 runners, and the sheer enormity of it, running through the five boroughs. You know, I liken it to running through a film set. It was just, we got 1 million people cheering you on. Where else? What other sporting events can you do running against world-class athletes, being cheered on by 1 million people through the five boroughs of New York? It's absolutely sensational, and it's
It's
unbelievable.
madness when you think about with these major marathons, how they like, you know, Brian, we discussed Dublin, you know, where Dublin Council were looking at changing the Dublin Marathon route because, oh, it's on a, you know, it's getting in the way, and you're like, New York, Boston, London, these shut down the whole major cities for pretty much nearly the day, obviously, but into the weekend for a lot of it. And, you know, it's an unbelievable experience for anybody who gets the chance to do it.
I think as well, the other big thing, like Paul, you more or less said it there, but one of the famous sayings, you know, when people ask about marathons, one of the quotes you'd often hear is like, control the controllables, you know, don't worry about the things you can't control. But you guys take away a lot of that as well, in fairness, by managing those. You know, you can imagine someone going to Tokyo and trying to manage their, you know, their transport to the wherever they start in, or transport to the expo, as you say there. So like, you're taking that stress levels away, which is something that isn't good for a marathon runner either, you know.
And you're absolutely right. And I reflect on Tokyo last year, Brian. And you know, because of the pandemic, they didn't have any international runners for a couple of years. And last year was the first year back. And there was a lot of, should I say, stress around, you know, the logistics of the marathon, because people had to do temperature tests for 3 days before the marathon. They had to download a lot of information on the Tokyo Marathon app. And we were there to help people every step of the way and basically get people to the start line. That's our job. We want to get everybody to the start line because, you know, you've got a lot to think about. You've done all that preparation. You've trained for months and months and months. And what you don't want is any stress whatsoever on the day of the marathon. So I'd like to think that we take a lot of that away, and let people just enjoy the experience and enjoy their marathon day.
And just to explain as well, I think you don't just do it for the marathon runner. So as you mentioned earlier, if there's a, like, you have chairs, owners, a fan, if there's supporters come through, can they go through your agency as well?
We get a lot of people, we get a lot of family and friends booking their accommodation with their runner. And obviously we want to look after family and friends also, and we take people to we have set cheer zones. We normally have a couple of cheer zones along the 26.2 mile route so that people can join us either in the morning or in the afternoon. And we give everybody cowbells, flags, basically things to make a lot of noise with, especially in Tokyo, because Tokyo is quite different in so much as it's, you compare it to New York, it's like a silent marathon, and everybody's very polite and just claps very very carefully. And it's that's that you can hear footsteps of the runners, so we go there and try and make a lot of noise and stand out, and everybody enjoys that. So
Paul,
that's all.
the one thing you did not mention there was flights. So I know before, I think, did you do flights, but do you still do flights?
No, well, we can do. We don't choose to, because we found that people can logistically organize their own flights, because you can imagine if you're taking hundreds of people to a marathon world major, then it's because people are coming from all over the country, it's difficult to kind of create a single flight for everyone. So we made the decision that it's best that people can arrange their own flights from wherever they may be. So,
Just fly at their own luxury, really, or do you know what I mean? And just go whatever suits them.
But invariably, when you're on a flight, you can spot who the marathon runners are. Yeah, you can
We're not
spot.
shy anyway. We like to show off that we're marathon runners.
Absolutely. So, every plane has got people who are doing the marathon. So, that's pretty good as well.
So
Oh, so
your top tip, Paul, for anybody you know who's involved with who's going with G, what's the one highly recommended tip you would give someone who's planning on booking with yourself?
well, the first thing you've got to do, Damien, is to think about, and I talk about this quite a lot, because if you're thinking of doing the six majors, it's which one do you want to do first? And from an Irish perspective, I would say do London first, followed by Berlin, stay in Europe, then move across to the States doing Chicago and New York, and then you're kind of your last two, and this invariably always happens, is that your last two would be Tokyo and Boston, because Boston's probably the toughest one to get into. And I've got to be honest and say that we don't go on general sale with Boston, because we have a wait list for people to go to the Boston Marathon. And those people who've run kind of Tokyo, Chicago, New York with us before, we have to give them preference, because we don't have as many entries, guaranteed entries for Boston as we have for the other majors. So Boston, if you look at the Hall of Fame, Boston and Tokyo are the last two. But if you're thinking of embarking on this journey, as I say, do London or Berlin first of all. And just dip your toe in the water, see what it's all about running with 50,000 other runners and the absolute world-class nature of these events. And then, you get bitten by the bug.
And outside of six majors, is there other events as well that you manage?
So there are other events that we manage, Brian. The most popular being, I would say, the Paris Marathon, the Amsterdam Marathon. So we do the other big European marathons. We do a lot of half marathons. So again, in New York, the New York half's very popular with us. The Brooklyn half's very popular with us. These are obviously different. So New York half is in March. New York full is in November. The Brooklyn half is in May. So, if you go onto our website, sportstoursinternational.com, you can see the number of events that we do. So,
And Tour de France as well, Paul, isn't it?
that's the other part of our business that's worth mentioning, that we are the Europe's only premium tour operator for the Tour de France. So if there's any Sam Bennett fans out there who fancy a trip to France this July, then look us up on the website, because we offer packages across the entire 21 stages, and sorry, entire 19 stages in 3 weeks. So yeah, we've got that.
Brian has just come back from a lovely sun holiday there. And one question for you, right? You're involved with Club Santos as well, isn't it, in Lanzarote? So that's like the mecca for anybody, involved with any fitness training who wants to go away for a week's, summer's training. How'd you get involved with that?
Well, again, it goes back to Vince. I think Vince took a group of people out to Club La Santa. And I think this was about 35 years ago. We became the UK and Irish agents for Club La Santa. So, for any of those who aren't aware of Club La Santa is Europe's number one sports resort. It's where people can go to train and where people can go on holiday. So it's based up in the northwest side of Lanzarote, and it's a sports person's dream because there are over 80 different sports that you can try there or train for there. So, for example, what have they got? They've got 450-meter swimming pools. They've got a 400-meter running track. They've got bikes, mountain bikes, gravel bikes, road bikes, gyms. They've got everything that anybody could ever want. And I think it was Esther Newman from Women's Running who said that Club La Santa is Disneyland for runners, basically, because the green team who were based there, they organise 10K runs, half marathons every week. So you can join a group and go out for a run whilst there. So it's hugely popular. As I say, we've been sending people to Club La Santa for 35 years now. And it, again, if you look it up on the website, and have a look around, it's an absolutely unbelievable place to go to, especially if you want some winter sun and you want to do some training. It's just fabulous, but it's also somewhere you can go to relax.
Yeah, so that's where the family comes in. You can have that bit of boat for it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As in
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
time, and then you go away and you do your hard work, and you come back and you can relax then. And
Yeah.
so it is like, look, Lanzarote is, everyone goes there for particular reasons: sunshine, hills, and plenty of, good food as well, which also helps the situation.
Yeah.
And do you organise just everything then? Is that the same? Is that you organise the flights yourself for that, or do you do the flights and everything for that then?
So again, you would organize your own
Right, yeah.
flights because there's lots of flights out of Ireland to Lanzarote on a weekly basis. And you're basically buying an apartment so you can go fully self-catered, or you can use the restaurants on site. The site also has a supermarket, or you can eat outside of the resort. So you've got choices, essentially, lots of choices. So I think we're responsible for selling, I think it's over 100 apartments a day, 365 days a year. So we send a lot of people to Club La Santa. And once you go, it's one of those places where once you go, you'll go year after year after year. It's that good, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It's fabulous, really special place, really.
It's incredible. And like I'll come back there again. We jump back a small bit to the obviously the main, which is the majors and all them kind of the marathon races. So when you're getting when then getting it, just to make sure, just to recap. So I'm getting guaranteed entry to the race. So if I want to do a New York race and I go into sports travel, I'm getting a guaranteed entry into New York, plus all the added bonuses and, obviously the hotel and everything like that. But the most important thing is a guaranteed ticket, which you can't get anywhere else, really.
That's right. So, as an international tour operator, we get a number of guaranteed entries. So we that's our USP, that we have guaranteed entries for all the world marathon majors. There are other routes to getting an entry. So, for example, you've got the ballot. For example, the New York Marathon, if you just enter the ballot, their ballot, New York Roadrunners ballot, I think you've got currently a 1 in 19 chance of getting an entry. So, the fact that we have guaranteed entries eases that, and again, you can get on with your training and look forward to the event.
Sounds good. You've everything covered.
They have everything, but have they got this covered, Brian? Next year, 2025, new major been introduced, Australia. 2 years after that, more than likely, new major being introduced, South Africa, I think, isn't it? So how are you gearing yourselves up for that?
Right, that's a very good point. So yeah, so as I've described, there are currently six World Marathon majors, and I think that the ambition for the major series is to have nine World Marathon majors. So there are two events currently, and they call themselves candidate World Marathon majors. So they're candidate races, and they are Sydney Marathon and the Cape Town Marathon. And then there's going to be another one. They were talking about it being Chengdu a couple of years ago, but that's gone off the radar. It could be in South America. The main ones are Sydney and Cape Town. Now, by all accounts, Sydney is definitely going to become a World Marathon Major from 2025. So, again, it's a fabulous event. I would recommend they've got a superb promotional video on YouTube that anybody can just have a look and get a sense. And as a candidate major, what you've got to do as an organizer is pass a criteria of 104 separate things. So in 2023, Sydney were very pleased to announce that they passed all 104 criteria. So they've just got to maintain it for 2024 for this year. And then they're definitely going to become a major from 2025. And it does look awesome because, you look at the finish line in particular, just below the Opera House, and it just looks sensational. So they've
They
got 20.
never show you the hill before that, Paul,
Heartbreak Hill.
though.
Anyway, yeah, it does look superb. I watched it live on Eurosport and just thought, wow, it does look absolutely superb. So we've currently got the Sydney Marathon on sale. So for 2024, race entries, like what would it be? £75. So it would be about €90, something like that. We offer accommodation at the Radisson Blu. So yeah, we're set up. If you're running 24, you're guaranteed an entry. I'm not saying necessarily in 25, but
In the
in the
future,
future.
but will the race entries then, just because you said €90 there to enter, would you expect that to jump up massively once it becomes a major?
Yeah, I listen. The race director is a gentleman called Wayne Larder, and he gave a talk at a conference I was at recently. And what they're going to do is they're going to gradually step it up because obviously the other majors have got like 50,000 runners. They don't want to go from 20 to 50 by all accounts immediately. So because of the infrastructure and the logistics and learning lessons every year, and what they want to do is they want to step it up over the next few years. So who knows? It could be 40 to 50,000 runners within the next 10
10
years or so.
years.
This is very much long term. And yeah, it's super exciting.
And
And
my last question, Paul, really, that I have, and like, is what does that do to the medal? You know what I mean? So the people know with the 6-star medals, do they have to now go away and run Australia to get the 7-star medal? Or is there going to be a 7-star medal? Is there going to be a 9? That's a big ass medal if it goes to 9 stars eventually.
yeah, it is a big medal. You're absolutely right. I think, and again, nothing has been announced yet, but my understanding is that the 6-star medal will always be retained because it's such a fabulous concept, the 6-star medal. And you've got to, obviously think about the people who've achieved the 6-star medal. So, and again, this is just my view, but my understanding also is that, if you think about it, is that the World Marathon Majors should be as applicable to for everyone all over the world. And if you were, say, in Australia and you think about having to travel to Europe twice, having to travel to the States 3 times, it can become quite expensive. So what they want to do is spread the love around the world and make it more accessible so that people in Asia, Australasia can do a marathon close by in Sydney. And I think, you look at, because we're not mentioned it yet, Cape Town, which is the other candidate major, you've got 1 billion people on that continent. I think it's something like 85% of the world's best elite runners hail from Africa, yet they don't have a World Marathon Major. And that does point towards Cape Town being absolutely in the right place, right Canada, because it is a fabulous city, a fabulous place to run underneath Table Mountain. And again, it just creates new opportunities for people on that continent, as it does for Australasia. So to answer the question, I think the 6-star medal will remain, but what you will be able to do is cherry pick which majors you want to do to get to your 6-star medal, because there is talk of there being 9. So it's almost like a pick and mix, and just choosing, you know, which of the 9 you want to do to get your 6-star medal. That's my understanding. There may be other medals, 7-star, 8-star, 9-star medals, but
the 6 will stay.
But the 6 will stay, is my understanding, yeah.
So, Brian, what you've left, 5 to go?
5 to go off. I may click off 1 or 2 of them, but I don't see myself doing all 6. But yeah, we'll see.
The talk to Paul there.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime journey.
He doesn't have long left.
I don't have long. Yeah.
He doesn't have his age. He doesn't have that long left.
But just going back to William again, you know, he did his first major in 85, and he's going to complete his 6 this year, 39 years later. That's a remarkable
something story. Else, yeah. In fairness, we'll keep it in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Paul, I think in fairness,
interesting,
very, very interesting. It is an area, as I said, that I've always had that interested in. And it's actually great to hear just the logistics behind it, you know, and like how well you're looked after. And Brian, and you said it yourself, you know, that you are well looked after on it. The free bar really tempted me, I'm not going to lie to you. That has been sold for it already. So,
you could go to the 6 majors and never run actually the race.
Yeah, exactly. Just get the free bar, constantly. Keep the tickets, isn't right? But no, look, Paul, it was an absolute pleasure to chat with you. And it's something I think we'll definitely in the future have, you know, another chat again about all these majors again as they pop up. And, you know, just get your insight into a lot of the running of these big races and things like that as well, which, you know, every runner, every marathon runner is totally fascinated by the 6 majors. It is something that we might never actually do it, but it's always in the back of your head. I would love to be able to do it.
Yeah, sounds absolutely
good. Yeah, brilliant, Paul. It was really interesting. Thanks for your time.
Hopefully I'll meet you in person in Dublin in October at the Dublin Marathon. We always have a stand at the RDS. You may have seen us. So, you're the official podcasters, aren't you, for the Dublin Marathon?
Dublin Marathon, yeah, exactly. And you'd have to get Cork Marathon on your radar as well.
Yeah, I know. We should actually. Yeah, it's often from a French and a UK perspective. I think we should definitely get the Cork Marathon on our radar.
But no, Paul.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Appreciate it again, and thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
Okay, thanks a million to Paul there again from Sports Tours International. I actually found that quite fascinating. Yeah. Again, it's
Ryan,
something a bit different.
It. Ryan is sitting there now, he's just fascinated by it.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, no, it was good. In fairness, it was a bit different again, wasn't it, from what you're learning?
No, here, so like Paul, Ryan, we just kind of, obviously you haven't heard it. We just talked through the 6 majors, but I really was fascinated with the 7 major coming in Australia, coming in next year, and how that dictates the medal. And people that listen to it now, so at the moment, so Ryan, just so that you will know right now, is that the 6 majors is technically staying as in the 6-star medal, and that. Okay. The medal will become, and this is not a confirmed, by the way, this is what he thinks is going to happen, is that the 7, you would get a coin, and you would put that into the medal of the ones you do. So you pick the 6 out of the 7 to do your 7, to get your 6 stars.
Wow, okay.
And then it's going to be, the eventual goal is to make it 9 majors altogether.
Wow, imagine if you had just, let's say, retired from marathon running, and you hit your 6, and you read in the newspaper the next morning that there's going to be a 7 or 8 or 9, you're going to, like,
bollocks.
I'm going to have to go again. Yeah.
But you're Mark Smith, who I dreamed a lot, he's the 6 done. And I said it to him, he was like, oh, fuck. He said, is like, is there an office in Australia that I can go to?
Down, yeah.
So look,
there you go.
Brian, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it. We wish you and Chloe every success in the future, and obviously already we will, you know, get the runner's diary and baby grow made up.
I'd love it.
You know what I mean? We'll have to get that done, and, you know, enjoy it, because it's something that, you know, you get, you know, them few months of just pure bliss, and, you know, then the madness starts really
then it changes. We'll go to you for any running advice. You can come to us for any parental advice.
John, no, nice. I'd be ringing you at 4 a.m. in the morning going, surely I should have a college degree to know what I'm doing here with this little person.
No, there's no manual comes with
no,
it,
there's no manual. No. But Ryan, look, best luck with everything.
Cheers. And thanks, lads. Honestly, what you're doing here is top class. So it brings a lot of joy to everybody. And on Monday going out for a trot or at work. So just keep it rolling.
No, we enjoy it. Brian, pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, lads.
Cheers.
Take it easy.